welcome to the Sports Reverence Podcast. My name is Dan, and we're joined by my two co-hosts, Drew Martin and my big bro, Joel Chandran, also known as The Coach. Drew Martin was away last week. We won't tell you why he was away or talk about the explosive stuff that was going on in his body. I don't want to put that picture in your mind. And we have The Coach, who's been coaching all around the world, I said last week. How are you fellas doing?
Just blatant lies today.
I wouldn't call a headache explosive, but
I thought you had explosive diarrhea.
See? Yeah, I thought you were older than five.
Mistakes are made everywhere.
Drew, tell us how you've been. We talked a little bit about our summer. How's your summer going?
Summer's been going good.
How's your summer went? Because it's over.
How many rounds did you actually play?
Too many to count, but well over 100.
Wow, that's wild. So that's wild.
Count how many days there were in the summer, and that's probably how many rounds I played.
Well, Winnipeg summers, who knows?
But some days you went two rounds.
It's coming to a close now.
Some days you went double.
Yeah, some. I know, and there were some days I didn't go at all. So okay. It all evens out. And actually, fall golf is like my favorite golf, though.
Yeah. Say that one more time.
Sorry.
Fall golf is like my favorite golf because it doesn't get too hot. You don't have to sweat.
Very nice. Very
but
nice.
Yeah, it's been going good.
Good, man. Good. Well, good to have you back. Coach, why don't you walk us through what we're talking about today, then we'll hit the rundown.
Beautiful. We got quick hitters as always. We're talking some NFL, what happened and what will be potentially. We're going to look at some of the basketball that happened in the last couple of weeks and talk about our favorite Jays team. And I think we have a fun game plan in between. And then we're going to be talking about to wind up, sharing your testimony as part of your witness and standing tall in the face of adversity.
All right. Should we hit these quick hitters?
Let's go.
Okay, first quick hitter of the day. Oh, this one's tough. Aaron Rodgers, first series for the Jets, tears his Achilles tendon on Monday Night Football and is done, out for the season.
Matt Olson hits his 51st home run to tie a Braves single season record.
Colorado is number 18 on the AP Top 25 poll. Dion.
And then for a quick hitter that has like five lines, NBA's competition committee recommended that teams will be fined for sitting two star players. Star player, someone who's made the All-Star or all NBA teams in any of the three previous seasons. That's not a quick hitter.
Just because you can't read.
And he added the second half of that in because they had to define what a star player was. So that's coming out. So number five, Rangers. Oh my goodness. Not Rangers. Los Angeles Angels. Ohtani to miss his ninth straight oblique strain. Blame this on Coach for putting this in here. Before we go anywhere else, let's handle some business. First commercial of the day is Urban Hope. If you're able to check out what Urban Hope's all about, you can find that on our sportsreverends.com/sponsorship page. You can click there. You'll find out that Urban Hope is a mentorship program. It's kids helping kids, and we've been able to run summer camps and different youth programs that run weekly. We have a sports program working on a basketball program, not just the team, to help develop kids in basketball and give them opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise. And it's in a very marginalized and broken neighborhood. So we have this opportunity to just pour into these kids that are starving for love and connection and family and all these kinds of things. And we teach them mentorship skills that they get to use and put into place and practice when they have opportunities to do so that we give them. And so it's a great program. You can check it out all at our website there. If you can give in any kind of way, it'll be a great blessing. If you live in Canada, you will get a tax receipt if you give over $20. So that's always a bonus there. So yeah, check it out at sportsurbans.com/sponsorships. And we're Urban Hope, the mentorship program we run downtown Toronto. Coach.
All right. Great opportunity there. Let's start talking about, let's start with the easiest one to talk about here in terms of impact. How does Aaron Rodgers' injury change the AFC East? Let's start with you, Drew. We haven't heard from you in a while.
I don't know how much it actually changes it, because I didn't see the Jets being that good anyways. Like, I know they won the game, but it seemed like no one wanted to win that game. And I think the AFC East is coming down to the Dolphins and the Bills, with I think the surprise team being how good the Patriots looked with Mac Jones. But I thought this division was the Dolphins to lose this year, mm-hmm. especially with a healthy Tua, probably the most explosive offense in the league. Yeah, so I don't think it affects it that much. I think it's hilarious that he lasted four plays for the Jets.
Gutless.
So I wish he would have done it 2 years ago.
Oof.
Wow.
Well,
no bitterness there, huh?
As a bitter Packer fan, and the Packer fan that I think if Aaron Rodgers played enough snaps, they would have got a first round pick, but because he's not playing those snaps, they get a second round pick. Pretty sure that's how part of the deal went. But I think it does affect. I think in the AFC East, there's like 10 teams you could pick that are I think are really good that could can compete. The AFC in the AFC total, there's 10 teams that are legit to me. And I echo some of what Drew says for sure, but I would add all these other teams in there. I think it just takes one team out that's really good. They have a top five defense in the league, and if Aaron Rodgers was able to just be even a B-plus version of himself, then they would have a decent offense. And I don't trust their top five draft pick there. What's his name again? Zach Wilson, yeah. And I just think they're done now. I think he's going to get torn apart next week. I was so excited for Jets Cowboys next week, but now I'm not excited at all. I think it's just going to be another romping. But yeah, that's my thoughts. I think it sucks. I think it was sad to see a legendary player go down and probably done like that. He probably not play as another snap. So
in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be done. I'm kind of in between the two of you. I didn't really expect the Jets to be that major of a player, but there would still be a difficult team to beat. And, you know, in the NFL, if you keep the games close, you can swing them either way, right? So that takes away one of the major threats in the East, or in the AFC at least. And I think it gives a team like the Patriots, who weren't expected to be that good, a better opportunity. I think they're going to be sneaky good. Miami looked amazing. So can Tua stay healthy is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And
he didn't even get touched.
Yeah.
Not sacked once, and their best left tackle wasn't even playing. So yeah, that's why I think it's Miami's division.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of ways it could swing, and it kind of ties into our next question is Josh Allen on the decline here, guys? Had a rough last season. They blamed it on the elbow, but, that is a really, really tough outing, especially for my fantasy team here, when he just kind of fell and flopped over. So why don't we start with you, Dan?
Yeah, like Josh Allen has been a turnover machine, and I'm just going to say this. I know this is not about the Cowboys, but if Dak Prescott was doing this and having this amount of turnovers compared to Josh Allen, he would be like kicked out of the league by now by the media. But yet Josh Allen still being, for the most part, raised as one of the top quarterbacks. And he's just been turnover central, not just bad decisions with his throws, but he's fumbling the ball as well. And last year the excuse was his elbow. And it was all an injury, but he's had a whole offseason, was told that he was totally healthy, and he lays an egg like this. It's kind of crazy to me, so... I do think he turns it around, but I think there needs to be some heat put on him, and I don't think he's going to decline. I think he'll bounce back, but I think he needs some negative heat on him for a little while here.
I don't know why you brought up the Cowboys, because Dak led the league in interceptions last year. So
in 12 games.
You want to compare stats of over the last 5 years, the turnovers, Dak and Josh Allen?
What? Okay.
Josh Allen's got like, I can't even remember, it's like over 64 or something like that turnovers in the last 5 years. It's like he's,
yeah.
If Dak Prescott did that.
Dak led the league in interceptions last year.
But he still had a decent ratio. And if you look for the years prior to that, he wasn't like that.
In 12 games, he threw 15 interceptions.
How much did Josh Allen have?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. He had less in more games.
He didn't have less.
but he's still. Yeah, I have to fact check all this because I don't know about that. But
they said it on the broadcast.
but if you still look at the turnovers from Josh Allen over the last 5 years, even it's been way worse.
So two things to say to that. One, I think that the Dak Allen comparison is a bit skewed because Dak has been the bigger star for longer. Plus, he plays for the Cowboys, so there's always gonna be that bigger scrutiny. But I think it was really disappointing because, as a Bills fan, you have the best player in another team go out. This game is in your hands, right? And I know they switched to more of the bigger set with the two tight ends and whatever, but he didn't go deep after throwing that first pick. He kept a lot of short into the sidelines, and the running game was non-existent. And of course, that's going to put pressure on your quarterback to throw the ball, but he didn't look that good. Not like the Josh Allen from two, 3 years ago, who just kind of lit everybody up. So I think it also looked bad because I think in the sportscast, it was Josh Allen was going to lead the league for MVP, apparently. So going out there laying a dud, that's it's tough. So Drew, I think you might be right with this whole Miami business, which is kind of strange, but Miami.
And I'm not saying Josh Allen is good. I'm just pointing out Dak is not good either.
I don't think Miami's going to be that great either. Tua's not going to share that he's going to be healthy at the same time. He hasn't shown that either. So I was just going to point that out.
If he doesn't get hit, he'll stay healthy.
Everyone gets hit though.
But he didn't.
That's one game. Wow. One game. That's just one game.
16 more to go.
Playing against Joey Bosa. And, yeah.
Anyways. So that's let's talk more AFC. How bad was Burrows?
His name is Burrow.
Burrow, sorry. I know you're related. It's fine.
That's a spelling mistake right there.
There we go. Add it
to
the list.
That's the one spelling mistake. How bad is Josh Burrow? How did he look? It didn't look
good. Joe Burrow, it didn't look good.
Guys, it's late for me, okay?
But I think this one is probably too high on the panic. Cincinnati's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cincinnati is going to be fine. And, yeah, Joe Burrow will be fine. Yeah. Cleveland is not for real. They're, I don't know, if you want to buy into what they're doing. Deshaun Watson, I don't know. He's not good.
Didn't look good.
Cleveland didn't – I don't think Cleveland outplayed them. I think it was just an off day. That's my assessment.
It was a torrential downpour, too. Like, it was terrible weather. No one was really throwing the ball well. And yeah, Cleveland really dominated them, but they just – It was a little surprising for Burrow to kind of lay that big of an egg, but yeah, I'm probably with you on that. they'll bounce back. But I'm probably higher up on Cleveland than you are. I do like their defense and Myles Garrett, and I think they have a sneaky chance to squeak into a wild card there. But I think Burrow bounces back, and no need to hit the panic button.
Okay. And last one for our week one observations. How good is this Cowboys defense?
Obviously, I'm going to be high on them, and they're great. But I wanted to just to pose this question of, like, the San Fran defense and the Cowboys defense both look so good. And would you rather have a San Fran victory the way they beat Pittsburgh, or a victory like Dallas where they just beat up on the Giants? And to me, it's like, if you look at the 49ers victory, it's a lot more impressive, because I think Pittsburgh's pretty good and we didn't expect it to be such a beatdown. But with Dallas, like, obviously it was a historical blah blah blah, but it's also blown out of proportion with that Giants team, which is just pretty awful.
Dan, do you think they could sweep both New York teams? Them out?
Yeah, definitely without Aaron Rodgers on the Jets. Yeah. And then the Giants. Yeah, I think for sure. For sure they will.
Yeah, go ahead, Drew.
I think the 49ers one was, like, the Cowboys defense is really good. But if you're asking the question, like, I do think the 49ers have a more well-rounded team. Like, even when the Cowboys were on offense, I don't think they were moving the ball very well.
Not through the air, for sure.
Yeah, they shut them out, but yeah, they scored two. They scored two touchdowns on defense, so they really, their offense wasn't clicking from what I saw. San Francisco has weapons, and George Kittle was a non-factor, because he's playing hurt right now, but just an embarrassment of riches there. Like, Brandon Ayuk is probably their fourth weapon, and he was the one that had the big game. CMC did his thing. Brock Purdy looks like he's for real. That's gonna be a tough team.
Ayuk might become their top receiver. Like, he looks so good, and seems like Debo's really almost taken out. Well,
have you forgot about Debo though? Like,
I know. I just said Debo's, I was just still about there. Saying Debo's almost taken a step back, like, statistically. At least, because I think he does take a lot of contact, so I think that wears his body out. But
CMC stepped into what Debo was doing too.
True.
Because he's sort of that scat back, like, yeah.
That's another one for him, if he can stay healthy.
Running backs can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And we don't pay them after their first contract. That's the new rule.
Well, that was my old rule. Yeah. They're just catching on to.
He has been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, we're going to roll the tape back on that for sure. Best team of the week. Dan.
It's either the 49ers, the Dolphins, or the Cowboys. I already said the 49ers had a more impressive win, so I'm going to go 49ers.
Drew?
Yeah, I think the 49ers... Yeah, it's probably okay. The team of the week.
Let's go with the clean sweep. Going with them hometown boys, 49ers. Nice. Let's make sure you guys let us know who your team of the week was for week one, either in the YouTube comments or via the Twitter or Facebook or the webpage. Just let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys. Week two, couple of juicy matchups here. We got Vikings and Eagles on the Thursday nighter. I think they are in Philly. Who you got? Let's start with you, Drew.
Well, Vikings lost to Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. But the Eagles didn't look good. So they squeaked out a win. I think Minnesota wins this game. I think...
Okay.
Yeah, I think coming off a tough loss, I think Justin Jefferson has a huge game. That's my call.
I like it. Dan?
I hate going for them or choosing them, but I'll choose Philly to take this one. I think Minnesota's going to be in for a tougher year than people expected. They had a lot of 1-point victories last year, so
yeah. I was just going to say
that's going to be tough on them, but yeah, I'm going Philly at home.
I think Philly at home as well. I think the Vikings showed who they were in the playoffs of last year. I don't think they've gotten any better overall. I think we're going to go. I think Philly has a bounce back game, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I still think Philly has a bounce back game. Vegas, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Buffalo Bills.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G pulling out the W.
A better looking Derek Carr.
Hey, the man can game manage. The man can game manage.
I think it'll be tight, but I think the Bills take this one. And I think Josh Allen is going to get angry and start running downhill and moving the ball. And Vegas won't be able to keep up on offense. So going Bills. Bills at home, right?
Yeah.
Bills at home. Yeah, this is a make or break game for the Bills, but I think Vegas. I like Vegas. I think they're better than people give them credit for. They've got weapons on offense, and I like Max Crosby on defense too. Like, their defense can play.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one as well. I need Josh Allen to have a monster game on a personal for my fantasy football league. But I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be 3 points or less. I'm going with Buffalo, though. I'm hitching my train to the Buffalo right here. Probably the most intriguing game of the week, KC and Jacksonville. What do you think, Drew? KC starting off 1-1 for the game.
Yeah, like, this is definitely the game of the week, because KC's going to want to come out and make a statement that they're not losers after losing. But Jacksonville looks like they're for real. Calvin Ridley's back and doing his thing. Yeah. Travis Etienne got a touchdown. Like, this team, I called it last year, like, with Calvin Ridley coming in, this is going to be a scary team. Trevor Lawrence making strides towards being what he was supposed to be coming out of college and out of high school. Like, this guy is a quarterback, and
Mr. Sunshine.
I think Jacksonville pulls this out.
Ooh.
Wow.
They're at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go KC. I don't think they go 0-2. I think they got Chris Jones back. Makes a big difference. Yeah. I don't like Jacksonville's O-line. The rest of Jacksonville I like. I think Casey, I think Kadarius Toney is going to make up for, is going to show everyone that he has the ability to catch a ball. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten a lot of hilarious memes on the internet right now. But I believe Kadarius Toney is going to get at least 70 yards and a touchdown this week.
I don't think he gets thrown to the rest of the year.
Book it.
If he was playing for Aaron Rodgers, he would not get thrown to for the rest of the season.
Because he's got a torn Achilles.
Yeah, we're talking about Kelce. Man, brutal. No love. I think I'm going
just gutless.
Yeah, I feel like I want Jacksonville to win, but I feel in my head saying KC. I think KC blows him out. Just come on gunning.
And something blows special. Blows him out. Ooh.
Blows him out. Yeah. I'm going with the blowout. Last game, Baltimore, Cincinnati. Cincinnati's at home.
Ooh.
This is Cincinnati all day.
Ooh. I don't know, man.
That's a tough one.
This is Cincinnati all day.
I'm probably with you, but I'm always scared of what Lamar Jackson does. And I like that he's got Zay Flowers, this special rookie.
Lamar was quiet last week.
I know. Both these quarterbacks have gotten paid this offseason. So this will be, that's another interesting little tidbit into the game. But yeah, okay, I'll go. You convinced me, Drew. Cincy at home. I know you didn't say very much, but it's Cincy. So
I'll be contrarian. I'm going Baltimore. I'm feeling it.
So it's possible Cincy, Buffalo, Kansas City all start 0-2 this year. That's wild.
But I think if you look at it, if any team starts 0-2, KC, I'm not really that concerned about.
And it's really possible that Green Bay is going to start 2-0. So,
which is even wilder. I think that
We didn't even talk about how good Jordan Love looked in his first game. He was
playing the Bears. You
had a lot of opportunity to bring this up in the pre-show, and you didn't. So that's why we didn't talk about it.
Let him play a real football team, and then we'll talk. Who do they play
next?
The Bears
were supposed to be. Everyone was talking about how good the Bears are before the game.
After we watched the Bears.
Justin Fields is awful. Jalen Hurts, apparently.
Justin Fields is like Jalen Hurts from Wish. And
Wish my com.
And basically, who do the Packers play next?
The Falcons.
See, even that's going to be
I know, that's what I said.
A win is a win.
They have a soft schedule because they missed the playoffs.
Win's a win, guys. Come on, you can't discredit them.
Yeah, it's the NFL.
This is the NFL. Cool. I think it wraps up our football talk for today. Let's roll the second commercial. That's me, Train to Invest. If you're looking to change lifestyle, create some good financial habits, and learn to be financially free, check us out at www.train2invest.com. Download our free ebook, give us a read, and give us a contact, and we'd love to connect with you guys. We teach a course on how to be smart with your money and do it on your own so that you cut out the middleman. So as you know, in most things, when you cut out the middleman, it's a lot easier, more value added to your life, and it's something you can teach your family and your kids and pass that along. So check us out, www.train2invest.com. Let's breeze through the rest of these topics here. FIBA basketball. Canada earned a bronze medal over Team USA. Rudy Gobert says they shouldn't have assigned players. They should actually have tryouts, which is funny coming from his France team that was terrible. And
no, Rudy Gay said that about USA.
Rudy Gobert.
You sure?
1,000%.
I'm pretty certain it's Rudy Gay saying that about Team USA because they chose the players.
Gobert. Okay. Rudy Gobert said. Rudy Gobert. I'm very confident about it because, and I'll tell you why. Because when I saw the quote, I thought he was talking about his own French national team. He was talking about patriotism and things like that. I'm like, Rudy, your team was terrible. What are you talking about?
So Rudy was talking about Team USA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Team USA finishes fourth. Another poor showing where these mega coaches, Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich, I think it puts a dent in their legacy a little bit.
Because
as a Homer Spurs fan, I was against it. But after seeing this debacle by Team USA, very surprised, very happy Team Canada won. But what are your guys' initial thoughts, if any?
So, yeah, you said Greg Popovich coached the last World Cup. He finished the seventh. Steve Kerr and his assistant, Eric Spoelstra, they finished fourth.
Ben Gundy.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it just says a lot about some of these coaches, I think it does put a dent in the legacy. If you looked at it from the hockey point of view, if Team Canada put in their B plus team, I still think they win their World Cup or whatever. Do they even? I think they do have a World Cup for hockey. This Team USA is supposed to be so dominant, so good. They're supposed to be all that of basketball, and they've lost. They lost to Germany, Lithuania, and Canada. So that was pretty interesting. It was really exciting to see. It was a really good game to watch. Went to overtime. Shouldn't have. Canada dominated for most of the game. Dylan Brooks really was showing out and dropped 39. Was unbelievable from 3-point land. If he can stay consistent from 3-point land, he's a legitimate star defender that can star 3-and-D guy, star 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
And he was
better
than
Danny Green.
Yeah, it was great to see him actually be a leader off the court too. It was very interesting to see that. So definitely excited for Canada basketball. I know Team USA, all these big names are talking about joining for the Olympics next year. LeBron, Durant, Steph, Anthony Davis, blah, blah, blah. All of them are going to load manage during their time at the Olympics. So they'll miss half the games and or they'll be injured. Or Kawhi Leonard's going to sit out for at least 75% of the games. So I'm not like too worried about their big names wanting to come play for the Olympics. I do hope Canada's others will come play, like Jamal Murray and Wiggins. I hope Jokic plays for Serbia because that Serbian team's really good. The one player that's on the Heat, Nikola Jovic, he's like six. He's just under 7 feet, maybe 6'10", and maybe 6'9", and he can shoot it. He can do it all. Yeah. He's so young, so good. That Serbian team's right there with top echelon. So it was fun to watch some FIBA basketball. It felt like real basketball, not just traveling and lack of defense. It seemed like there's defense, seemed like more technical basketball, and watching USA and Canada play was like a all-star game with defense, which was kind of nice. It was kind of cool.
Drew, quick question for you. Do you think it's time the US moves away from having like the A, B, and C and kind of just has a standard roster for these kind of games? You think that would help the continuity, or what do you think? Any thoughts on that?
I don't even know what you're talking about, so no.
I thought I'd toss you a softball one.
A, B, and C. I don't know what that means.
Well, like the different stars who show up and don't show up, right? Because, you know, for the Olympics, we're talking about, you know, having the big major guys come through. This team was a bit more younger guys, up and coming. But they really hadn't played together before.
I think the Olympics should go back to just amateurs. I think that would actually be much more exciting.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I think previously there really wasn't as big of leagues across the world, right? The Spanish League, Israeli League, Europe League, like a bunch of European leagues. Those are all legitimate leagues now.
Yeah.
Versus maybe in the 1980s, 1970s, it definitely didn't exist in the same manner. So I think you're kind of onto something by moving to a complete amateur set.
Like I think it served its purpose, right? Like, because in the MJ doc, right? Like we learned like how big that was for spreading the game across the world, which is why we see so many guys from overseas. Like I think like five of the top
the past five 10 MVPs. Players.
Yeah, like
yeah.
But I think that also allows us to go back to the way the Olympics were meant to be played, which is by amateurs.
I like that take.
Yeah. So I think it served a purpose, but I think it's time to stop doing it, because it's basically the Pro Bowl. Like I don't care at all. Like I honestly didn't even know this was going on.
That's because you have four kids. No, but I think you make a good point. I think probably the only thing that's stopping that from happening is the money, really.
But everyone's catching up. Like I said, if Serbia puts their full team ahead, they're just as good as anyone else. If Greece is right there and Spain,
I disagree. I think if the top players in the NBA show up, if the top players in the NBA all play on the same team, they easily win.
I'm not sold on them anymore. Like they're kind of older. They're kind of like flaky. Like if Kawhi was playing regularly, but who knows with him? Paul George, who knows with him? Anthony Davis is so injured all the time as well. And the other guys are old.
That goes to roster construction too, though, right? Like you look at this last Team USA, who are their bigs?
They had Jaren Jackson Jr., Depoy.
Walker
Kessler was put up same numbers as Rudy Gobert. And they had one other guy.
Rudy Gobert put up garbage numbers, Jackson,
he's a deep boy.
Deep boy, but only because he didn't really guard. He doesn't shut down the guys he guards. He's more weak side help.
Yeah, he's not covering Jokic and Embiid, those kind of guys. There's not many of them anyway. But if
you think about it, like,
Jonas took him to school. You're right.
So it's a big body. Like, you're paying, even though he's 6'9", you like playing against guys 2-3 inches taller than you, 40 pounds bigger than you. Yeah, you may stop them once, twice, maybe 5 or 6 times, but that constant pounding is gonna you know, shut you down.
And that's the USA's weakness. That's what I'm saying. Even if they brought their best.
No, I don't know about that. I'd have to think about it. I don't know.
Yeah, like I'm just saying.
Top of my head, I don't know.
That's where the rest of the world minus Canada has the advantage with their bigs that are just dominant. But
like, yeah, you're not getting Anthony Davis who's gonna play center. There's no chance. Because he's not going to play center for the Lakers anymore. Let's flip on to baseball.
I just love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I just have to say that. Because he's...
I love you can say his name.
He's just amazing. He's amazing.
Okay, so he's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Drew. Walk us through some Blue Jays.
Jays, Rangers, Mariners. Jays currently sit half game out of the second wild card spot.
Yeah.
Who lost tonight?
Yeah. The Blue Jays are in tough because the Rangers and Mariners, like, it's tough to say it, but like, they're just better teams than the Blue Jays, I think, all around. The Blue Jays are still hurting from Alek Manoah not being who he should have been this year. It's nice to see Ryu. Ryu had a really good start tonight. It's too bad the Blue Jays didn't score any runs for him, but they were in tough against Max Scherzer today anyways. But I just think the Mariners and the Rangers have better pitching, and their offenses are clicking way better than the Blue Jays. Vladdy, he doesn't even have a smile on his face anymore. Like, he's known for just, like, loving being around the game and stuff, and you just don't see that during the games anymore. It's tough. Danny Jansen going down for the year is tough as well, just to give Kirk those off days, and he was actually hitting really well too. I'd love to see them squeak in, but it's gonna be tough. I think they have to prove that they can beat these teams. They've got two more games against the Rangers. They have to win them, because the Mariners, we saw what the Mariners did last year. Like, they're a good, solid team, and they only got better this year. They've got a good rookie pitcher now, and they go 4 or 5 deep with their starting pitchers. The Blue Jays,
legit 4 or 5 deep.
Yeah, like, once you get past Gausman, it's question marks. Like, Bassett is hit or miss. Berrios has been pretty good.
Kikuchi's been Ryu, all right too.
What?
Kikuchi's been all right.
I know, but it's like hitter. Like, he could also give up 8 runs.
Yeah, it's not like, consistent. You're right. It's not consistent.
So, like, these guys from the Ranger, like Max Scherzer, he got hurt today, but if Max Scherzer's on the mound, he's going 7 innings. Like, right? Like, once you get past Gausman, you don't have that on the Blue Jays. So that's their biggest hindrance right now. Their bullpen's been terrible the last couple months. Defensively, though, they're way better this year. Dalton Varsho, Kiermaier, and they've got the best defensive outfield in the league, I think. So,
do you think it's kind of the earning your playoff dues? You know, having to put that all together at the end of the season, where the pressure comes on. Teams equipped for that, or is it they're a year away from being real contenders?
Well, I think they've got enough veterans on that team. Like, George Springer has won a World Series, lots of playoff experience. Even Kiermaier, he was on those Tampa Bay Rays teams. Bassett has been around forever. Ryu was on that Dodgers team. Like, they've got They've got people with playoff experience. It's just like, I don't know. Watching the game, it just doesn't feel like they're in desperation mode to win. Like Davis Schneider is the only one that seems to come to play every day right now.
Yeah.
And that's
pretty
sad.
Imagine if we didn't have Davis Schneider, how bad it would be.
It would be ridiculous. And yeah, like even tonight he hit a home run in the ninth inning. Like he's like, it's sad to have to watch a rookie to carry a team. Cause you have hitters. Like Vladdy, when he's on, is one of the best hitters. Bichette's one of the best hitters. Springer still can swing it. Chapman has fallen off a absolute cliff. Like, remember early on in the year, Chapman was like the best hitter in the league.
Yeah, Chapman was going to in MVP talks. Like,
yeah, and his average is already down in like the 240s or something now. So, so it's sad, but I'd love for them to make it. I don't see it happening.
Fair. Anything else to add, Dan?
Nope. I'm just going to be a homer and because I'm going to the game on Thursday and I'm going to help them turn this thing around because I don't know. This is I think defensively they're good. I think defensively even I think they can get by with the pitching, but if our bats aren't going to be there, then
it doesn't matter.
Brutal. Yeah. So
if they don't make the playoffs, is this season a failure?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think we all agree on that.
Do you think they make it?
I don't think they make it. I don't think they make it. I'm being a realist here. I don't think they, a couple of factors against them, injuries for sure. Right. For whatever reason, I think Drew, you're right. Rally cap. I don't think, they don't seem to have that fire to go and fight for it. And
well, it starts with Vladdy though. It's like
if you're in that position, you got to have your team leaders pushing you guys to drive and get what you need to get done. The effort doesn't seem there to be there, at least the effort in the right way, and the body language isn't good. So
I think I sent it to both of you guys that the Blue Jays have left the most players in scoring position on in the whole league, and like by a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow.
Yeah, it's clutch hitting.
It's terrible. Yeah. Well, hopefully they turn it around, boys. I believe.
I think we should save the blind rankings for next time.
Sure.
And let's jump right into the one of our favorite parts of the pod here, the real talk section. And last week we talked about restarting or refreshing your faith. You know, a lot of times we talk about springtime being that time of renewal and refreshing. But in the sports world, it's the fall. Lots of things start in the fall. Playoffs start in the fall. So we're saying, hey, it's not too late. If you've been, if you haven't been as consistent as you wanted to be, or if you're just starting off your journey brand new, jump right on in, both feet in. This week we're talking about being bold. I would say sharing your testimony as part of your witness, not always the easiest thing to do. But Dan, why don't you give us a recap of what DeMario Davis had to say and share this past week?
Yeah, DeMario Davis of the New Orleans Saints. He, I like the way he did his post game interview. He started out by saying, you know, so many people gather to watch these football games on Sunday, and he's like, but really Sunday should be God's day, and he wanted to point everything back to God, and he said, Lord Savior Jesus Christ, so that's who God is, because I know that can be miscued by many people, but. And then he went on to share a testimony, not the testimony of how he became a Christian. It's a testimony of his daughter who is going through an episode of seizures and different health challenges, and how he brought it to God and asked God for a break. He needed a break where he would just come through and just save her and help her. And he said typically after seizures I can't remember exactly what her disease was, but typically after she had a seizure and it's supposed to be like a day or two before she can be really fully functioning and talking straight and all that, but without being woozy. And it was the night of and the next morning where she's at her older sister's birthday party, and she's full of energy, fully speaking full sentences, and it was just an answer to prayer. His wife had to drive with her as she had this awful seizure in the back of the ambulance, and he was following behind in his car, and he was praying along the way, and it's just shock. You can imagine, as a parent, Drew, you can speak to that better than both of us, but he's shocked as your kid is they said the child stopped breathing twice in the ambulance, and they're afraid that there's gonna be massive damage to the neuro side of things. So it was really cool how he shared that testimony, and he said, like, you know, that's and then he gave everyone else an opportunity to say, hey, if you guys ever need that break and anything like that, you guys can have that too. You can have that with a relationship with Jesus, and he's saying all this on this platform that he's been given, and I thought that was really cool. He really stood up, shared an amazing word of God's goodness, and you can check out that whole video on our Sports Reverend's Instagram page there, and get the full details on it. But I think it just speaks so much when someone can stand up on their platform and say, hey, this is that platform God gave me, and that I want to use it actually to glorify him, and it's available to everyone, and that's one of the most important things we can share. And I guess what's been on my heart is that's what we should be doing, not just, you know, us as reverends, but all Christ followers. You know, I think we're at a time in the Christian walks of Christian journeys in our society where we have to be more vocal and actually sharing who God is, who Jesus is, and what he wants, what he's done for us on the cross, and all those good things, and about the gospel message. And I thought that stood out really big to me, and it was encouraging to me.
Drew, obviously you have a platform every Sunday, and whenever you have other events to, you know, preach and share the gospel, how do you, in your day-to-day walk, tie in, you know, your testimony and how you witness, and is it something you consciously think about, or something that, you know, the Spirit to prompt you? Like, how does that happen for you?
Well, it's a pretty cool opportunity I get each and every day. Like, obviously I talk about how I'm, like, you guys talk about how I love to golf and stuff, and I'm a member of the golf course here in Selkirk, and everyone actually knows me as Rev. Like, that's my nickname at the golf course.
Nice.
It actually opens up pretty cool doors, like, of asking questions, like, what's that mean? Like, what do you do? Like, what is that all about? And it's, yeah, I've actually had some neat opportunities to share, about Jesus. I've actually had an opportunity to baptize someone who I met on the golf course.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's been really cool just being open and willing to talk and not hiding behind, you know, I think I went through the first couple years, like, going to sports and stuff, wanting to be, you know, just one of the guys. But, like, ever since, you know, and it's just a nickname, right? Like, it's whatever. But it's just opened up those doors to be able to share about what I do and why I do it. And, you know, it's, yeah, just walking through the open doors that God opens for us.
Would you, I think a lot of people, you know, want to talk about God and their experience, as Christians, want to talk about their experiences with God, but they feel that, you know, my testimony isn't cool enough. It's not, there's no rags to riches, or, you know, didn't turn my life around 180 degrees. What do you have to say for people who feel like their story doesn't matter?
Yeah, it's funny. At Bible college, I remember having to talk to a guy who thought the same thing. Like, we were writing down our testimonies, and he's like, well, mine's just boring. Like, I became a Christian when I was 5 and I stayed a Christian my whole life. I'm like, that's like the coolest testimony, because like, I think that's, you can share how you stayed true to Jesus your whole, like, that's pretty sweet. I think a lot of us get caught up in our, I think Dan, you can agree, like, when we get into like testimony comparing, like, who has like the coolest testimony, like, oh, like they were into this and they were into that. But I think we focus too much on the what instead of the actual what Jesus did, because that's the main, that should be the main focus of your testimony. I think I find that a lot in testimony sharing, that people spend a lot of time in what they used to do, right, rather than in the actual transition to what Jesus has done for them, which is the same in every testimony. So that's where your testimony totally matters, because Jesus, if you are a believer in Christ, has done the best thing, like, died for our sins, rose again. Like, so that's every, that should be everyone's testimony that calls himself a believer.
And like, there's testimonies that we should all be able to give every single day. Like the very breath I breathe is a testimony, you know. The birthday we celebrate is a testimony. It's another year of life, and that's a gift. And the way Jesus works through his people as well, there's like Demario Davis, like that's another area where you should be sharing the good news. We call them at Church and City 5:11s from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It's to build each other, build everyone up and encourage one another. And that's one of the ideas behind sharing the good news, right? Sharing the good works.
Yeah, I think, you know, coming from the non-pastor perspective, I think Drew, you kind of nailed it on the head. It's like, I want a cool story. I want to, you know, impact a lot of people. But I think the biggest thing is just being obedient and being open to saying, okay, this is clearly a door that's being opened. I'm going to share about me. You don't have to be a Billy Graham, right? You don't, you know, your job is to be obedient, and you never know what seeds you're just planting or what seeds you're just watering. You may not even know the fruition of your results by being obedient. My dad and I were talking about that yesterday, because you know, he was talking to one of his friends, and he's like, oh, their kids are not you know, following Christ's path. And I was like, well, yeah, that's definitely not the ideal, but we also don't know what our impact is for their lives. And you don't know what kind of door you're open, maybe not for you, but for somebody else, to share to that other person's life. And so, if I can give any encouragement, I'll leave it with you guys, but my encouragement would be just be obedient. It doesn't matter if it sounds corny or cheesy, or it's going to feel awkward if you don't do it often, but be obedient and just share, because you never know. You don't know what God's end game is. You're just a piece of the puzzle. If you guys have any encouragement you want to share before you wrap up, or anything else, Drew, the floor is yours.
Oh, that's good. It's, yeah, just being willing to be available to be used in whatever way. And like, I think it's, you'll be surprised with the doors that will open through just being available. We actually just started doing floor hockey nights at our church as well, and it's been cool to see just, you know, random kids come in for a floor hockey. But we always take 5 minutes and just, you know, just have a short little word about what we do here at the church and stuff. Yeah, it's neat to be able to see how open people are to hearing. Because for some people, I'd say the majority of people now, it's completely foreign. the whole message of the gospel. And I think for those of us, like all three of us here, growing up in the church, like we can almost become numb to hearing it, right?
Desensitized,
like, yeah. Like we think everyone knows this, so we don't need to explain this to people. But it's like you need to start at the very beginning, because it's so new to most people, and you'll be surprised by how interested people are to hear it.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that, Drew. Dan, anything else before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, I'll just quickly say, I guess, if you're probably watching the sports ribbons, for the most part, at least for the people that I interact with, you have a Christian background or a relationship with Christ. And my encouragement to you would be is everyone has fits into the piece of the puzzle, as Joel was saying. It's your pastor is going to play a role for you for sure, and play a role for the church. But if you want to be a part of building into your community and building into your church, it's like there's one young adult guy from our church. He just has a gift of going to share with everyone, inviting them to come to youth program and come to church, and he's playing his role. He's using his gifts that he's given to grow and build our programs, and it's been incredible that way. And yeah, I have my role to play and to shepherd and all that kind of stuff, but everyone has their role to play. So that's my encouragement to you as a Christ follower. If you haven't figured out what your role is, ask God what it is, and ask where he can open a door for you to use your gifts that he's given you.
And if you don't know your role, get involved in your church. There's always something to do there. Great talk, guys. For those of you listening, if you have a cool story about how you took a step of faith and shared your testimony and God worked in a cool way, or just even in a quote unquote normal way, we'd love to hear it. Hit us up on Instagram, hit us up on Twitter, or even the YouTube comments. It's always cool to hear what God's doing in other people's lives. And if we get some good replies, we'll talk about them on the show next week. So, I think that's it for us, right? I think, got a good pod. I think, again, as always, the Real Talk piece is one of our favorite parts of it. So make sure you like us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, share the video, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, share us with your friends. And, let's get the community, the Sports Reverence community growing. Well, that's it. Let's have a good week, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Peace out, world.
Peace.